Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, hello, hello, welcome. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me in the studio, my goodness, is the producer himself, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Well, here we are again. Here we are again. And we have such an exciting program for you today. We're going to be talking about so many things. We're going to be talking about a young man here. We're going to start the first hour. We can't wait to really share about it. But what he's overcoming and what he was able to do in his final moments is going to be pretty, pretty exciting. We're going to be talking about faith and the use of our faith. It's not really how much faith you have. Is you got to use what you got, Chris.
Right.
You got to use what you got. Right. But, you know, I'm noticing today in the studio, Chris, I'm noticing that your sidekick and mine, there are no Saints paraphernalia.
No.
That I noticed. And I noticed that the hair is back on track. I'm glad to know that things are moving really well over there.
Okay.
And you're looking sharp as usual.
All right.
Last week, now I admit, the other day, I don't know if we grabbed the picture. I saw Greg did grab the phone, but I don't know if you noticed the thing that was going on in the background there. The thing that was, we do have that. We have captured it. We have captured it. Mm. But maybe we can make that available for you on the torch. We are talking to the powers that be and seeing if we can release that. But if we can, we will make that available. Mm. I do want to say that if you missed yesterday's program, oh my goodness, what an amazing program. We've been talking this week about faith, and we've been marinating, if you will, soaking in faith. And yesterday, we shared about the three dimensions of faith. My goodness, if you missed yesterday's program, you got to get this. You got to get it because it's powerful. The three dimensions that we shared was that one, the faith that saves.
Right.
You need, you can't, listen, you can't get saved without
faith.
Without faith. So we're talking about the saving faith. The second dimension was the faith to receive. And those are pretty much talked about quite often. I mean, you need faith to receive the Lord, and you need faith to receive everything in the kingdom, whether it's your healing, your deliverance, blessing, favor, prosperity. Everything transacts in the kingdom by faith. And then the last one we shared, the third dimension of the three dimensions, was faith to do. And that's so important because you just can't have faith in faith. You got to have faith in God. And you have to have faith to actually accomplish and to move forward and to do something, to accomplish something in the kingdom. You got to have faith to step outside of where you've been, to go to a new place and a new direction, and it's going to require you to actually put some, you know, elbow grease and some action and some movement with to the thing that you say you profess you believe. And oftentimes what we are doing proves what we believe. You know, no action, no faith.
Right?
So you definitely want to catch that. We're going to be talking, and I don't know, guys, if you saw this, this was, when I saw this, it really just stirred my heart. There's a young man. His name is Zach Zobiak. And Zach basically was diagnosed with a cancer. He was diagnosed with a cancer at a very young age. I believe he's like 18 years old. And it's actually a rare bone cancer that he had. And he was just given a few months to live. And it's pretty dramatic. There's nothing more sobering, I don't think. I mean, very few things that are sobering in life than when you've just been diagnosed or have been told that you're about to die. You are about to be here, you know, just a few days, and you're going to be gone. And I remember, Pat, Chris, I remember when my father was diagnosed with cancer. Gosh, almost maybe 15 years ago, I guess, some time back. And I can remember the shock on his face and the shock on my face because he was just walking around just fine. I mean, he had some pain in his hip and he had fractured his hip. He actually had bone cancer as well. And he didn't even know how he actually fractured his hip. I mean, his hip, it was already at stage four. And just to hear that the doctor said, and he spoke really quite frankly, he says, I don't know how to tell you this, but you've got 1 month to a year to live.
Wow.
I mean, you go from one part of your life to just living and acting and doing and fellowshipping with family and fellowshipping with the church and living life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Enjoying to 1 second, just like that, mm-hmm. you find out that the time that you do have left is actually very short and you are about to die.
Right.
And how you handle that and how you embrace that is really big.
Mm-hmm.
And this young man, can you imagine, was told that he was going to pass away and that he was going to die.
Right.
And so what he did was kind of actually pretty unique. Some people, when they are facing a bad situation, when they're facing a death, when they're facing a time in their life where everyone's saying, hey, look, it's over. I mean, this is pretty bad. This right. is, you're done,
all
okay?
Right.
Your life as you know it right now is over. Some people just shrink back and fall into a great despair or depression. They become paralyzed, and they're gripped with the fear of what they once knew will no longer be.
Mm-hmm.
But this young man decided that he was going to invest his talents in the time that he had left. And he's a musician. He writes music. He wrote a song. He wrote a song, and it's entitled Clouds. This song has been an instant YouTube hit. It has been viewed by over 7 million people, 7 million times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want you to listen to it, but this is how a young man who was told he's going to die wrote a song about going to heaven and being in the clouds. I want you to listen to it. This is how Zach decided to say goodbye.
I fell down, down, down to this dark and lonely hole. There was no one there to care about me anymore. And I needed a way to climb and grab a hold. You were sitting there holding a rope, and we'll go up, up, up. But I'll fly a little higher, go up in the clouds because the view's a little nicer up here. My dear, it won't be long now, it won't be long now. And when we get back on land, well, I'll never get my chance. Right out my hands, and maybe someday we'll take a little ride. Go up, 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 and everything will be just fine. We'll go up, 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 but I'll fly a little higher. Go up in the clouds because the view's a little nicer up here. I had a little bit more time. If only I had a little bit more time with you. We could go up, 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 then take that little ride. We'll sit there holding hands and everything will be just right. And maybe someday I'll see you. We'll float up in the clouds and we'll never see the end. We'll go up, 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 but I'll fly a little higher. Go up in the clouds because the view's a little nicer up here. My dear, it won't be long now, it won't be long now.
powerful. You're just listening to Zach Zobiak. Charisma News reports that he wrote this song called Clouds as an ode in part to his unwavering faith in God.
Wow.
We're going to make this video available for you on the Torch. But when you look at this video, I mean, the song is just so touching, has a great melody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're watching him actually record this song. You're seeing him singing it. You see a whole bunch of people kind of like in a studio setting. And I think I don't know this, but it looked like there was maybe his mother was sitting next to him.
Yeah, I think it was his mother.
As he's singing this song, and she's singing along with him.
Yeah.
I mean, who embraces death like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about this. I mean, this so stirred me when I saw this. I was so moved.
Mm-hmm.
This is some of the things that I think about when I attend funerals and there, you know, it's just something sobering about a funeral, something sobering about death that allows you to examine your life. It helps you to realize, what am I living for? What am I living for? What am I doing? And one thing about death is that he didn't take death lying down. He took the time he had left and did something with it. Chris, he did something with it.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's touching people all around the world, and he didn't give up. He invested what he had mm-hmm. and lived in the moment.
Powerful.
I mean, it's we got to get this. Mm-hmm. We got to be better at this, of living in the moment and focusing our attention. You know, we spend a lot of time focusing our attention down the road as if down the road is promised to us. And in reality, all we have is this stretch of road right before us. We don't have this down the road, you know, dreams that we have, or these desires and these wishes and all these different things that we think about. What you have is today. You know, yesterday is over with. Tomorrow may never come. But today's a gift. That's what they call it, the present. All you have is today. All you have is this moment. And maybe you've been caught up in a place of worry. Worrying about tomorrow, that you're not even living for today. And we want to encourage you today that you can take hold of your life. You can stop being depressed about situations, circumstances, challenges, trials, things that you're facing, and you can turn your whole attention, your whole focus to God. I mean, listen, we only pass through this life one time. One time, and this young man is so encouraging. He has now, since, has passed away. Zach is no longer with us.
Mm.
He's passed away. But what is true is that what he has done is still living on. We're enjoying it now. Mm. We're enjoying his song. In fact, he was able to fly up, I believe, to New York and ink a record deal right before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
It's been selling on iTunes and all different type of, you know, media outlets, and it's just amazing. It's just amazing. But he didn't lay down. And the question is that we always face when we are dealing with trials and struggles and tribulations and things that happen. Let me tell you, in life you're going to face trouble. You're going to face challenges.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't been told, just live a little longer. I mean, you're going to face things. The question is, how do you face them? How do you do it? People fear many things today. I mean, they feel fear whether they're going to, you know, get in a car accident while they're driving. They fear that they may not be able to pay a mortgage bill. They fear of flying, fear of public speaking, fear of so many things. But there's one thing that you should be concerned about. There's one thing that you should be aware about. And that is living a life that's completely insignificant before God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that should keep you awake at night.
Yeah.
If you're not doing anything with the life that God has given you. And unfortunately for Zach, this death sentence actually produced something good in his life.
Mm.
But how many times has that happened to somebody that they have the experience a setback, they have to experience a trial, a death sentence, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that moment, it's in that time that they realize, I only have a few moments left. I only have days left, months left. What am I going to do with this life? What am I going to do? They said it was over. They said it was done. It wasn't going to happen anymore. And what am I going to do? And it really should turn your attention to really two places. It really should turn your place to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this life is so short. We got to love hard. We got to love God. We got to love those around us. We got to work hard. And we got to live hard for Jesus. I mean, at the end, all we have at the end, you know, we came into this world with nothing. And we're going to leave this world with nothing.
That's right.
But the only thing we can take with us really is our relationship with God and those people that we have touched, those people that we have impacted, and something that we left behind. You look at cemeteries today, and you see countless, countless, countless tombstones. I don't know if you've ever been to a cemetery, or maybe you've seen one on TV, and I visited quite a few, and you just kind of walk as you're going to see someone who's passed away, you're going to go visit. You see all these tombstones, and you think, wow, who are these people, and what did they do with their life, and, you know, did they do anything? And you look at all the billions of people that have lived on the face of the earth. I mean, there's presently, I think, about 7 billion, but, you know, presently. But you think of all the people that have lived throughout the ages, and there's some people that have done great and extraordinary things with their lives, some that we know about, many that we don't. We just know about a few. And then there's some that passed away before their time, or they passed away and they didn't do anything with the gift that God has given them. They didn't do anything of significance for God. Some have done evil with the precious gift of life. Some have done nothing. And some have done good. And the question for you and for me and for all of us today is to ask ourselves, what are we going to do with this precious gift of life? You know, someone once said that your life today is God's gift to you. But what you do with your life is your gift to God.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to give him?
Right.
We all have this option. We can do good, we can do evil, or we can do nothing. And I look at Zach, and it just, you know, I applaud this young man. I'm like, man, he went for it, man. You did it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take this death sentence lying down, but you said, I'm going to do something about it if it's the last breath I have. I think about Steve Hill when he was diagnosed with cancer. You know, Steve has run a good race. Steve, you know, preached in one of the longest revivals in America.
Mm-hmm.
I think it says one of the most impactful of revivals in America.
Right.
We're talking about the Brownsville outpouring. And he was diagnosed a few years ago with cancer. And as I understand, he was told that he was as at death's, you know, door.
Yeah, he was actually in
hospice.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how close it was. He was actually in a hospice room. You know, he was just counting down the days.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, because you don't go to hospice unless
it's over, yeah.
Unless it's over. But Steve didn't waver.
Mm-mm.
He kept going and going and going and going and going.
Yeah.
And I think that's just so amazing. And then.
Yeah. And his prayer was at the very end, he goes, Jesus, if you let me live, I'll win another million souls for you.
Mm.
Mm.
Another million.
Wow.
And God answered that prayer.
Wow. Because he's back.
He's back.
He's back.
Like he was before.
Preaching, sharing.
Yeah.
In fact, God gave him a vision, spiritual avalanche. If you haven't heard of it, you got to hear it.
Yeah.
We have it on the torch, and we've spoken about it. But you look at how some people face death and look at others face it. Some people look at death and they say, oh, it's over. I'm done. And, you know, I'm just going to survive these last couple of moments and months that I have left. And then there are others that say, you know what? I've only got this brief moment of time left. I'm going to do what I need to do for God, for my family. I'm gonna squeeze this sponge called life, and I'm not going to leave nothing left. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you today that maybe what you need is a death sentence.
Mm.
Maybe what you need today is a death sentence over maybe a selfish life. Maybe you need a death sentence over being absorbed with other things that are robbing you from reaching your full potential in the Lord. And the question is that if you were given a death sentence today, what would change? What would change? That answer alone would be telling you that you wouldn't be living right now, presently, for what matters most. Because if you decided, well, I would do this, I would do that, I would only do this, then that means that you haven't been living, truly living.
Right.
I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. said that a man's not fit to live until he's found something worth dying for.
That's right.
And you got to find what that is. You know, if you're a believer, it should be for Jesus Christ. It should be to lay your life down for the glory of the Lord, to say this one life that God's given me. And if he's rescued you from the pit, if he's rescued you from hell, if you've been bought with a price, your life is indebted to him. You owe him. You owe him your everything. And I want to tell you that, listen, embrace your circumstances today. It's not over. Maybe you just need a new lease on life. You need new hope again. No matter what they've said, no matter what you're facing, no matter how bad it looks, let me tell you, with Jesus, all things are possible. Begin to dare to dream again. Begin to step out of fear. Begin to do the impossible. Begin to do what they said you could not do. Love hard, live hard, pray hard, and give everything you have as if it's your last moment in life.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can you be let go from a job for speaking about God or your religious beliefs? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I had a situation where I was basically let go from my job for speaking about God.
Let me ask you a question. Was this a conversation with fellow employees?
It was a conversation after overhearing a conversation with me on the phone.
The rule is, if it's not disruptive to the workplace, God's not an off-limit topic. Some employers think that it is, but it's not. And so oftentimes it's an overreaction. There's Bible studies in workplaces going on. But the key is whether it was causing disruption in the workplace or interfering with your job. If it doesn't do that, you really don't have any legal problem. But if it was interfering with the job, that's where the issue becomes more of a basis upon which termination could be made. So here's what we need to do. I need you to get in touch with our legal department here at the ACLJ. We'll do that right away.
If you have a legal question or concern, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know Tom Landry. He was a coach for Dallas.
Right, the Cowboys.
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl, and so, but he's the coach, and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team, because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do, mm-hmm. to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
To have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great, I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, we remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do. your flesh to do. Mm-hmm. What it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come mm-hmm. to pass, would come to pass.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that, he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this. Mm. But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that. Mm-hmm. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan. For free, mm-hmm. And begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved. Just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. I'm John Ramos, filling in for Greg Lancaster today. Joining me today in the studio is Pat and Chris. We're talking about Zach Zobiec, a young man who was diagnosed with bone cancer, who had a few months left to live, and in fact has already died and passed away. But prior to dying, he actually wrote this amazing song and other songs, but this one song has been viewed on YouTube over 7 million times. We will make this available for you on The Torch. But the song is called Clouds. And one of the lyrics, one of the verses in this song, it says, "If I only had a little bit more time with you, if I just had a little bit more time with you." And it's almost like the same question, fill in the blank. If you had a little bit more time with who, what would you do?
Right.
What would you do if you had a little bit more time with your family, with your son, with your daughter? If you had a little bit more time with God, mm-hmm. what would you do? If you had a little bit more time on earth, mm-hmm. what would you do? Mm-hmm. And the question is, would you be doing something different than what you're doing today? Would you be doing something different? Life is so short. Mm-hmm. It really isn't. The older you get,
the shorter it gets.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what is happening.
And the faster it goes.
Dude, the days, they just fly by. And before you know it, you know, it starts Sunday, and before you know it, it's Friday, and it's Saturday. It's like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Did this week just blow by me? Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, if you don't make sure that you're living your life on purpose and not on accident, you will look back at months, maybe even years, maybe even decades of your life and say, what in the world was I doing? Mm-hmm. Did I really give 10 years of my life to that? Did I spend 5 months where? Mm-hmm. Did I, and you think, oh my goodness, we have to take an inventory mm-hmm. so that we can really fully understand that, listen, I want to do something. And if you're a believer, listen, you can do something for God. Christianity is not a spectator sport, if you will, but you got to get in the game.
Right.
You got to get in the game. You got to be willing to step outside of complacency and just this entertainment craze that's happening in America and around the world that everybody just wants to be entertained. And you got to be willing to invest yourself, spend your life on the behalf of Christ and on behalf of others so that you can have something of true value in the end. And the question is, do you need a death sentence mm-hmm. in order to truly live? Do you need a death sentence? Mm. Because it's amazing how sobering things become when people say, well, I heard the C word, or I heard that word, and when I heard that the doctor said, everything changed. And mm-hmm. the question you ask is, well, why did it change? Why were we not living like that to begin with, that life is fragile, that at any moment I can pass away. When you live with that type of perspective, you know what that does? It's not a doom and gloom perspective. In fact, it's a living perspective, because it causes you to realize that the relationships that I do have, I'm not going to take them for granted. That I'm not going to spend unnecessary time squabbling and being in rifts and having strife and have separation with those I love, because I understand that life is very short. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm going to realize that I'm not going to live for myself. If you understand this, right, you're going to say that, listen, it matters how I treat others, and that others know that I love them. You know, the worst thing I think sometimes for folks to experience sometimes is to wonder and question if they were ever loved by people that were close to them.
Right.
I mean, why would somebody have to wonder if we loved them and they were in our life? Why would they have to wonder that?
Right.
Well, we can avoid those things today by loosening our jaw, and looking them square in the eye and being able to tell them that, hey, listen, I love you. I care about you, and that you matter. There's a lot of people today that feel like they just simply don't matter. And it's nothing more empowering or powerful when you can look at someone, and it's right in the middle of their day. Try it today. And look at someone and say, hey, you matter. How are you doing? I know you got all this stuff going on. I know that you're busy and work and everything, but how are you doing? What's going on with you? They're going to be shocked and surprised. They may not even reply, because they've never been even asked that question before. Give them a break. Give them a break, and maybe come back in a week or so and ask them again. Say, how are you? And the other thing is, you start realizing that when life is short and but a vapor, you say, listen, one day I'm going to see Jesus. I'm really going to see him.
Right.
There was a song that was made real popular. I believe the title is I Can Only Imagine. I think that's what I titled it, because that's the over, you know, the chorus that goes over and over again. But the song's about, if I can only imagine what would it be like when I see Jesus. You know, what will I do? How would I respond to this amazing encounter?
Right. Yeah.
And when you look at people's lives and the videotape of your life is scrolling by, and you realize, what did I do? What did I do with this precious gift of life? Listen, this is not to make you feel condemned in any way. It's hopefully to give you hope for you to realize, you know what? I need to wake up. I need to be jarred a little bit. Listen, if that was what my life before, today I'm going to make it a point to realize that I'm going to truly live life, and I'm not going to need a death sentence. And if I got a death sentence, nothing would change. I would keep on doing what I'm doing today, and I'd do it all the harder. I'd keep on pressing on.
All right.
And like Steve said, Lord, if you let me live, if you let me live, I want to reach a million souls.
Yeah.
Listen, at the end of the day, the only thing we can take with us is our relationship with God, because you're going to need that to get in now. If you have a relationship
That's
with God,
right.
You're going to be left at the gate. You know what I'm saying? The only thing you can take with you is your relationship with God. You knowing him and him knowing you. I mean, when you show up, you want him to say, hey, how are you?
Now, All right.
Who are you? I see you wearing a cross and everything, but I don't recognize your name. The look in the book of life. No, J, no, H, A, no. I don't see. But you want to say, hey, welcome.
Well done.
Well done.
My good and faithful servant.
My good and faithful servant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be music. That's going to be music in my ears. I want to hear those words, right?
That's all I want to hear.
That's all, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Living for that moment. That's the moment to live for. And when you truly live like that, you break free of a narcissistic life that says it's all about me. And you say, really, it's all about God, and it's all about other people. Listen, don't let a death sentence be the thing that motivates you to live life today. Don't let death sentence be the thing that motivates you to tell someone that you love them. Don't let a death sentence be the thing that says, I'm going to stand up and do something for God. Listen, I think it was Joel Osteen's father who said, do something lest you do nothing. Do something for God.
All right.
Do something. Invest whatever talent you have. whatever you can do. Say, I'm going to invest it in the kingdom. This young man said, listen, I got a guitar. I know how to sing. And I can strum on this thing.
That's right.
And I'm going to invest my talents to the very end. I want to encourage you to invest what you got into the kingdom, into loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. Well, you know, in God's news behind the news, guys, there's so much that's happening in regards to Israel, mm-hmm. Middle East, and there's an interesting thing that's happening that now is being exposed more and more. And basically what's happening is that here recently CBN is reporting that Hezbollah declares Israel a military terror group. You can understand that Hezbollah, I mean, these are terrorists. The terrorists are calling other people terrorists. This is awful. This is what you call a lie. And what just happened is that the European Union basically said the European Union, this is CBN reporting, should blacklist Israel's military, Sheikh Hassan said in his first response to the European Union's unanimous decision earlier this week to brand Hezbollah, their military wing, as a terror organization. And so their response to that is, you calling us a terror organization, which they are, mm-hmm. you need to call Israel's military a terror organization. And when you start thinking about Israel, imagine this. Let me give you kind of a thought here. Imagine what it would be like to live with a continual understanding and awareness that you have enemies. Enemies that desire to destroy you by any means necessary.
Right.
How many people you know, when you really think about this, how many people you know live with a continual understanding that there's enemies that want to wipe them off the face of the earth.
Right. Unbelievable. How could you, you know.
How can you live like that? How can you live in a state of mind knowing that every time you go to the grocery store, every time you go to a public gathering, every time you take a ride on a bus, every time you go to experience, you know, something in a public setting, a park or what have you, that there is always the potential that there's a bomb that's going to go off, someone's going to shoot you, someone's going to kidnap you, that a rocket could be thrown in your backyard, and that you walk around with a constant suspicious of other people. Every backpack that you see laying down, your eyes are just trained. Mm-hmm. There's always a heightened sense of security because you know that there are people that hate you. They hate you with a passion and with a desire that they're willing to even give up their own life to see your life destroyed. Listen, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about this because I think oftentimes we become desensitized to the reality of evil.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen to this. This is what God says. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Right now, when so many things are happening in America, people are going to Washington, D.C. and protesting and trying to push the government to do things against God's way. This man with tears in his face, when they put the mic in his face, he said exactly what we need to hear and what we need to do. Listen.
What's brought you to tears?
I want to personally repent for everything I've done to bring this out of this country. And if we do not repent of our sins, we will not recover. America will not recover.
Dear God, forgive us for our sins and what we've done to cause this to come amongst our nation.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Chris, and we're talking about imagining. Imagining what it would be like to live with a continual understanding that you have enemies that hate your guts. Mm. That you're not only just have one enemy. I mean, how many people, when you ask them, you know, do you have any enemies? They may say they have one or two, or maybe a couple. But if they're lucky, you know, if they're lucky,
right?
But they have another sharpening tool. They have one. That'd be a lot,
right?
But imagine that you lived in a place that you were completely surrounded by people that hate you, hate your children, want to see you destroyed,
mm-hmm.
and are willing to even lose their own life to see your destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Living under a constant state of terror, of fear, of anxiousness, a constant state of alertness, knowing that at any moment, any family event, any family vacation, any moment at the park or in a public setting, in a bus ride, that you, yourself, your child, your family member, your wife, your mother, your grandmother could be viciously attacked, assaulted, killed, murdered at any moment, or a rocket could blast them away.
All right.
Well, this is the type of environment that the Israelis live under every single day. And what happens is that when you see this happening a lot on the news, or you hear any kind of information, you just kind of assume that, hey, it's just normal, one. Mm-hmm. And two, you totally become desensitized to the realities of what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't sting anymore. It's amazing that unless it happens to you,
right,
it just doesn't appear to be that important.
Right.
And, you know, when we were attacked on 9/11, I mean, who was not grieved? Who was not moved with compassion? Who was not heartbroken? Who was not upset and angered that people would take other people's lives like that and just kill them, just have the audacity to do something like that? The old dad, I mean, he's like, are you kidding me? This happened? And yet, this has been happening for years to Israel. And one thing as believers is that we cannot become desensitized. America has. We cannot close our eyes. We cannot ignore the fact that there are radical Islamists that want to kill Jews. But let me tell you, they also want to kill Christians as well.
That's right.
JJ, Jews and Jesus, Christians. I want you to listen to an interview by a woman who just wrote a book about the persecution of Jews and the persecution of Christians. You got to listen to this because it's really going to help you to get a bit, you know, bigger and broader perspective on what's the real strategy and the real plan. Listen up.
Listen to this slogan. First, we kill the Saturday people. And then we kill the Sunday people. You see, the Muslims' holy day is Friday, Jews' Saturday, Christians' Sunday. Well, it's graffiti written by radical Islamists, and it's found throughout the Middle East. Recently in Jerusalem, Scott Ross sat down with journalist Layla Gilbert to talk about the link between the persecution of Jews and the persecution of Christians.
Layla Gilbert is a California author who spends much of her time in Jerusalem. I spoke with her overlooking Jerusalem's old city and heard what she discovered about radical Islamic plans to first rid the Middle East of Jews and then of Christians. Gilbert arrived during Israel's 2006 war with Hezbollah in Lebanon for a three-month visit and decided to stay.
And now, out of all this, a book. I was fascinated by the title, Saturday People, Sunday People. Define that significance.
It's graffiti from radical Islamists that appears throughout the Middle East. In the best terms, it says, first comes Saturday, then comes Sunday. But there's a flag, a photo of a flag in the book that says, on Saturday we kill the Jews, on Sunday we kill the Christians. And that's where I got the title.
Gilbert says even though many of the world's Muslims are not violent, their voice is drowned out by radical elements.
There are 1.5 billion Muslims in the world or something. I don't think every one of them is a terrorist, but I think that the influences they're under now, both governmentally and in terms of mullahs and various mosques, there's an influence that's inescapable.
And under that influence, persecution of Christians in the Middle East has exploded, so much so that Christians are leaving in droves.
There's a great danger that there will be no Christian community in the Middle East in the next 100 years, maybe less.
Where in the Middle East are we talking?
Well, the countries that kicked the Jews out.
What you're seeing here is an interview. Looks like we have lost contact there. But an interview with the author who wrote the book, Saturday People and Sunday People. And in this interview, she's talking about how the radical Islamists are killing the Jews that meet on Saturday and the Christians that meet on Sunday, and they're bold about it. And we talked about, listen, as a church, we got to stand with Israel. If we close our eyes, we're closing our eyes not only to the apple of God's eye, but we're closing our eyes to what's going to be happening to us. Possibly in the near future. It's already happening in the Middle East. But I'm talking about here on our own shores. It's important that we don't live a life that's closed off to what's happening and ignoring these realities. And when you look at a state, that a country that's smaller than the state of New Jersey, I mean, literally, to drive from the northern part of the state to the southern part of the state, you're maybe looking at 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Very small.
Very, very small. I mean, when I went to Israel, I mean, literally, you're driving through the Golan Heights, which they're talking about giving up.
Right.
That they're talking about giving up. You could stand there and literally view, I mean, way deep into the heart of Israel. I mean, it's like you feel like you can throw a rock and throw it over there or something. You can hit something. And I've been all the way to the very top of the northern border where Israel borders another country. It's escaping me.
Syria?
No, that's on the right-hand side. Lebanon.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been on that border, and there's gates, there's posts, and you're just looking right into Lebanon. You're just like, you're right there. It's like you're looking.
Yeah.
And that's how close this infighting is. This is, it almost looks like neighborhoods, if you will. I mean, it just looks like there's a line that's drawn and there's a fence and that's it. I mean, it's kind of surreal, if you will. And to think that you're just a stone's throw away, that you're just a rocket, missile, grenade, lob away from an enemy that really wants to destroy you. And an enemy that teaches their children at a young age. And it really, if you look at the picture and you zoom out of what's happening, just zoom out your lens, you really realize that this is what Satan aims to do to every person on the face of the earth, and especially Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is his mission statement. That's Satan's mission statement. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And if you haven't noticed, there is an attack waged by hell on you and on your life. The enemy wants to separate you, destroy everything that God wants to do in your life. He wants to destroy all the hope. He wants to destroy all the love. He wants to destroy every bit of love and concept and understanding and revelation that you have about Jesus. He wants to dilute that. He wants to hit you with doubt that you question if God even loves you. And he wants to destroy everything. Mm-hmm. He wants to rob you from your family. He wants to rob your children, your community, your extended family, the church. And that's what it's like living under that type of attack. But the problem is that many Christians and many people live, Christian and non-Christian alike, as if the devil's not real.
Yeah.
As if he's not waging a real war. Because people ask, well, you know, how can we really be desensitized to what's happening in Israel? Hello, people are desensitized by what the devil's doing right now.
Right.
They're totally desensitized, totally blind of the filth that's coming across their airwaves on their television screen. I mean, who do you think's behind that? The filth that's on the internet,
mm-hmm.
all the stuff that's happening all around the country and around the world, how the enemy has schemes, which are literally strategies to divide and to conquer a people. My goodness, have we not seen the division in this country?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, I don't remember a time where the country has been so divided. And the only thing that's going to bring us back, in this interview, she talks about how even the Christians in this area are divided.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Anything divided, Jesus already told us, is going to fall. Mm-hmm. Everything that's divided will fall. No house can stand. And in John 17, Jesus prays the only prayer that, my goodness, still has not even been answered. Can you imagine Jesus praying a prayer that has not been answered?
All right.
And in John 17, verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them, that's all, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I mean, Jesus' prayer is that, listen, he's praying for all believers. I want them to be one. I want them to be united. Well, listen, if only 19% of believers are actually reading the Bible
mm-hmm.
and knowing what God is saying in his word, and they're not even being united with God, how can the church truly be united with each other? Mm-hmm. We have to first be united with God. I want to tell you that we can be together on this. We can open our eyes to have an understanding that evil does really exist. But I want to tell you that greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. And that if we continue to stand with our brothers and sisters in Israel, if we continue to stand against evil, if we continue to stand for what is right in God and in the Lord, we will see victory.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. You know, there's nothing more frustrating sometimes when you miss something that you wanted to be able to see. And something you couldn't record it, maybe you couldn't get to it. But you know what? Every weekend we're doing things around the yard, or we're doing things, some hobbies, or we're going out visiting people, or whatever it is. We're driving in our cars to different places. Did you know you can catch the entire week's program every weekend for 24 hours, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all the way to 9 a.m. Central Time Monday morning? It's called Marathon Weekend. It's that week's program playing back to back. Don't miss it.